Blog Talk Radio.
I was showing you how to do it earlier, so everything's set up. Let's set up the program. So, talk's ready. YouTube's ready.
Nothing less than me. That led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. Where is this one that Yahweh has put within the Holy Spirit? Because Moses undoubtedly had this Holy Spirit upon him. This is why Moses was the one who Yahweh used to be the shepherd, to be the leader, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But where is this one today that Yahweh will use, that he will put the Holy Spirit within him? And furthermore, what is the Holy Spirit? And why is it holy? And just to show you what we've been dealing with, if you go to the book of Genesis, the second chapter, in the first verse, it reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which Elohim created and made." What is this letting you know? That word sanctified is kadesh, which means to be set apart, which means to be separated, which means to be sanctified, and that is exactly what it is to be holy. That's why holiness is clean, because when you are clean, you are separated from things that defile you, dirt, spirits, evil, and so forth. That's how you become holy, by being sanctified. And the seventh day was the first thing that was called holy. For instance, in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 8 reads, "Remember the Shabbat day to keep it holy." That's why it's holy, because Yahweh made it holy. He said, "6 days shall you labor and do all your work," which means you have 6 whole days and nights to do your own purposes, your own causes, everything that you want to do. You have 6 days, and you even have 6 nights to do all of these things. But the seventh day is the Shabbat of Yahweh, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." What does that mean, hallowed? Separated it, sanctified it, hallowed it. He made it holy. The seventh day is holy. So holiness is in the order of seven. So when something is holy, it's really been seven. You're going to see this sign of seven attached to it. You're going to see this on it all the time. The way of the Hebrews is holy. And I can show you 7 things that denote the way of the Hebrew. As a matter of fact, let me show you that to establish what I'm saying. And why does this matter? Because a Hebrew is holy. That's why Yahweh called the Hebrews out of Egypt, to separate them. And in the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, the 4th verse reads, "Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, go unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, and say, build ye houses, 1, and dwell in them, plant gardens, 2, and eat the fruit of 3, beget sons and daughters. 4, and take wives to your sons and give daughters to your husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and you may be increased there and not diminished. 5, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. 6, and pray unto Yahweh for it. 7, for in its peace you shall have peace. 7 things a Hebrew should be about: building houses, planting gardens, getting married, having children, making sure your children get married and have children, seek the peace, and pray. These are 7 things that a Hebrew should be about. Why? Because a Hebrew is holy. Yah's people are holy. How do I know Yah's people are holy? Look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, verse 2 reads, "For you are a holy people unto Yahweh your Elohim." What is he saying? Look at the first verse. "You are the children of Yahweh your Elohim. You shall not cut yourselves," meaning like people, they cut themselves like in mourning. They'll go and start cutting themselves, doing all kind of weird stuff. But you shouldn't do that. That's not what a holy person should do. Even though our people, we done learned the ways of the heathen, so we got all kinds of scars on us because we did the heathen's ways. "You should not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead, for you are a holy people unto Yahweh your Elohim, and Yahweh hath chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." So you're holy. And not only are you holy because Yahweh said so, but he done put the sign of 7 upon the Hebrew. I'll show you another sign of 7 on the Hebrew that makes you holy. In the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter, the 12th verse, it reads, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath, which is the 7th day, even the 7 holy days that pertain to the Shabbat, for the Shabbats that they can possess. Verily, my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign." And what is the Sabbath? It's something that is on the 7th day. It's a sign. The 7th day is a sign on Yah's people. It is a sign between me and you throughout the generations, that ye may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. Meaning what? You have to keep the 7th day holy so that you can be aware that it is Yahweh that makes you holy. And it all revolves around this 7th. So when Yahweh lets us know that he's going to put his Holy Spirit upon someone, and they will be a sign, that means I'm looking for something that has 7 on it. And does their spirit have 7 on it? And yes, the Holy Spirit has 7 different spirits. And what have we dealt with so far? We dealt with the spirit of wisdom, the first one. Because Proverbs 4:7 lets you know wisdom is the principal thing, meaning it's chief, meaning it's first. It came first. It's at the top. Wisdom therefore get wisdom. But with all you're getting, get understanding, because that's the second spirit we dealt with, understanding. And we learned that both wisdom and understanding, which are spirits, are born and founded in something that most people do not want to acknowledge. And what do most people not want to acknowledge? Yahweh's word. And that's what wisdom and understanding is settled in. If you read Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, the fifth verse reads, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh my Elohim commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them." What? Do what? The statutes and the judgment, the way of the Creator. Do what Yahweh taught you. And what does it mean when Yahweh teaches you? It means he's given you instructions. And what does the word instructions mean in the word of Yah? It means Torah, which is the law. So Yah has given us instructions. And he said, keep them and do them, because it is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear these great statutes and judgments and say, surely this is a wise and understanding people. For who has the Elohim so nigh unto them as this nation does, that when they call upon him, he comes near unto them? You would have to have a wise and understanding spirit. And you would need wisdom and understanding. And it is the laws. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the law. The words of wisdom is the law. The spirit of wisdom comes by the word of Yah. The spirit of understanding comes by the word of Yah. It's very simple. Wisdom is the principal thing. So it is first. And what else is first? So you can see what correlates, what category, what path is wisdom in. Let me show you. It's in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. In Genesis, the first chapter, the first verse reads, "And Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the water. And Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day." So the very first day, Yahweh made light. The very first thing is light. The chief thing is light. The principal thing is light. Therefore, wisdom, being a principal thing, being first, it is also part of the light. And once you have the light, what do you do with it? Do you throw the light away? Do you put the light back in the closet? Do you shun the light? You can, but if you do, have you shown understanding? No, you haven't. But if you possess the light, then the most sensible, the most beneficial, and practical thing to do is to utilize that light. And once you utilize this light, you display and you have accepted the spirit of understanding. Because understanding allows you to do something very important. And it's in the book of Job, 28. And 28. It reads, "And unto man he said, the fear of Yahweh, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Because now you have the light. And you can see the evil, you can see the good, and you can choose the good. And that shows understanding. That shows good understanding. Look what it says in Isaiah, the 5th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 reads, "Woe unto them that rise up early." Now, let me read verse 20. "Woe unto them that call evil good." You see, that's not understanding. So if you've been calling evil good for the years of your life, you really haven't had understanding. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." That's not understanding. "That put darkness for light and light for darkness." That is surely not understanding. "That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." See, you're not able to make a difference. You're not able to see the difference, to discern between either or. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Why? Because you do not have understanding. That's why Yahweh say, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." For Yahweh's word is proven. So the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding will rest upon him that has the Holy Spirit. It's in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And we dealt with wisdom and understanding these last 2 days. So what will we deal with today? To magnify the law, make it honorable, to show forth the word of Yah, to warn you to what is to come. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the first verse reads, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him." And you know Yahweh's spirit is holy, because Yahweh is holy. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of counsel, 3. And the spirit of might, that's the 4th one. So now we're going to deal with the spirit of counsel. What is counsel according to the Creator? Well, they tell you, in the world of the heathen, they call a lawyer counselor. They say, "Counselor, please approach the bench." Why would a lawyer be a counselor? What do they have to give counsel? They say, if you got an anger issue, go see a counselor. They got a whole school that trains counselors in all kinds of different ways. All these different kinds of counselors. And what are these counselors doing? What are they doing for you? What's their task? A counselor in counsel is advice. That's what it is. Someone to advise you so you can know the right and good way. Look in the book of Psalms 1. And there's a spirit that you got to have to be able to give counsel. In Psalms 1, verse 1 reads, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. Your book says ungodly, but what ungodly translates, the Hebrew word is rasha, and it means wicked. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. And what is wicked? Wicked means wrong. That's what the word wicked means. The word rasha means wrong, contrary, evil. The wicked. You don't want to go in the counsel of the wicked. Meaning, blessed is the man that walks not in the advice of the wicked. Why would you want a wicked advisor? Let me show you what wicked advice does. Go to the book of 1 Kings. Show you how horrible wicked advice is. 1 Kings, we'll go to the 12th chapter, first verse. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that David sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve you. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men, meaning he sought counsel, that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise? Because that's what a counselor does. That's what counsel is. How do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spoke unto him, saying, if you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Which teaches you a very good principle. A leader should serve the people they lead. What else are you supposed to be doing? You just in front of them so they can kiss your butt? No. You are leading them in service. And this is why they said you need to serve them. Be a servant to them. And they will serve you. So speak good words to them. Say, yes, I will lighten your yoke. My father built this city up. Great building projects have been completed in the days of my father. It's a good thing that we lighten the yoke. We don't need to do all these building projects anymore. We have the house of God. We have the palaces. When in Solomon's day, gold was as abundant as copper. They just had all kind of financial superiority. The greatest kingdom on earth. Richest kingdom in the world. And how did Solomon do that? He had great building projects. He had great armies of salesmen. Well, not salesmen, but sailors. That would go abroad and do mining projects and gather gold and jewels and all kind of rarities. Solomon had many people at his hand doing service. And they're like, look, he's dead now. This work has been done. We're sitting on top. Lighten the yoke. And the old councils say, yes, hearken to these people. Verse 8 says, but he forsook the council, meaning he disregarded it. They said, serve them. This young man said, man, what? And he forsook the council of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. Meaning, he went to people that had no more experience than him. He went to people that weren't even in his position, that never even counseled the king, that didn't even know what it was like to see the people go through a kingdom as these old men did. No, he went to people that was just trying to ride his wave. Grown up with him, which stood before him, and he said unto them, what counsel do you give that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which my father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spoke unto him, saying, thus shall you speak unto this people, and spoke unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Meaning, I'm going to make it even harder. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Don't go softer on him. Go harder on him. This is what he took. And this was the catalyst that would separate the nation of Israel unto this very day. Now, why would this man do that? That's because it was purpose from Yah. But he still showed you that the wicked counsel is what led to this calamity. So Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. So when you're looking for this one with Yahweh, that Yahweh has put the Holy Spirit within, you want to see, does this one give good counsel? Now look what it says in Isaiah. The 11th chapter. Verse 10. It says, and in that day there shall be a root out of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. It shall the Gentile see, and his breath shall be glorious. Now, even the nations are going to seek unto the ensign, which is David. This ensign, which is the representative of your deliverance. That's why he's an ensign. He has to be representing something. What is he assigned for? Right? You want to know, if you pull up to McDonald's, you look for the golden arch, whatever. Burger King, you look for the crown with a burger. Wendy's, you look for the little white girl with pigtails. Everybody got a sign. and it represents that which it's supposed to represent. David is an ensign, as it says in verse 11, and it shall come to pass that in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time, and Yahweh's doing it, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Pathros and from Cush, from Elam and from Shinar, and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. So when that happens, when Yahweh sets up the ensign, it's time to go. And you want to know that you're looking at the right sign. Now, somebody say that's McDonald's, and it got a Frisch's Big Boy sign, or it got a Skyline Chili, or a Burger King sign, like this McDonald's. Somebody, that look like Burger King. That's the sign for Burger King. Have it your way is what it says, but you said it's McDonald's. It's the wrong sign, or you're reading it wrong. Somebody's wrong, and you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to follow the wrong thing. They've been telling you the Christ in the New Testament is the Messiah, and he hasn't fit one sign of the Holy Spirit. Not one. He don't have wisdom. He don't have understanding. And I'm going to prove to you, he don't have counsel. But I'm going to show you what counsel is, because you want to know what your sign for deliverance should be coming with. As we've seen, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. This advice. So where is good counsel? What is good counsel? Let me show you. Proverbs. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to go to the 21st chapter of Proverbs. And I want you to pay close attention to what the Creator has inspired this wise king to write. In Proverbs 21, verse 30, it reads, listen very closely. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. So don't even think to come with wisdom that ain't of the Creator, understanding that ain't of the Creator, or advice, counsel that's not of the Creator. Because if you come with some bogus stuff, it will easily be thrown away. Because you ain't talking about the right thing. So how should the one whom the Holy Spirit has, how should they give you advice? What counsel? What counsel? What should they counsel you? Well, let me show you. Look in the book of Exodus, the 18th chapter. We'll show you an example of where counsel should come from. Exodus 18, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed for Elohim. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses, father-in-law, before Elohim. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that you do to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of Yahweh." What for? Because they want counsel. They want advice. They want to know what they should do. So they're going to Moses, the man of Yahweh. Because if you want advice, shouldn't you go to the one who Yahweh put the spirit of counsel upon? So they went to Moses. Verse 16, when they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them known the statutes of Elohim and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that you do is not good. You will surely waste away. But you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give you counsel, and Elohim shall be with you." Meaning, Moses' father-in-law, who seen a thing or two, let Moses know, "Look, man, you don't wear yourself out. You got the whole nation waiting to hear what you got to say. And you're doing it by yourself. You're going to be worn out, Moses. You can't do this by yourself. Let me give you some advice. And Elohim will be with you. Be you to the people an Elohim ward," meaning a go-between between you and Yahweh. They come to you, you go to Yahweh. "That you may bring the causes unto Elohim, and you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men such as fear Elohim." You see what he's telling them? Get you some help, but make sure you get men that fear Elohim, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Meaning you shall set up officers that can give counsel to the people also. And then let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that when every great matter they shall bring unto you, but every small matter they shall judge, so it shall be easier for yourself, and they shall bear the burden with you. If you shall do this thing, and Elohim command thee so, then you shall be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to this voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. Why? Because it was good counsel. Such good counsel, the Creator, established this counsel, as you will read in the book of Deuteronomy. This is the correct scripture for you. Deuteronomy in the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. Here in Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. Verse 8 reads, if there arise a matter too hard for you in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then you shall rise and get thee up into the place which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose thee. And you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days to inquire, and they shall show you the sentence of judgment. Which means what? There's judges set up. This judge is set up so that you are able to get counsel of the Most High. Also look in the book of Deuteronomy, the first chapter. In Deuteronomy, the first chapter, in verse 4:15 it reads, so I took to the chief of your fathers, chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with them. So this is something that is established in the law, to have judges and elders, captains and officers, and their purpose is to be able to give you counsel, advice, and the advice should be of the law. Go back to Deuteronomy 17. In Deuteronomy the 17th chapter, it reads in verse 9, and thou shalt come to the priest, the Levite, and unto the judge that shall be in those days and inquire. And they shall show you the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which Yahweh shall choose shall show you. And you shall observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach you, and according to the judgment which they shall tell you, you shall do. You shall not decline from the sentence which they shall show you, to the right hand nor to the left. Why? Because it is the word of Yahweh. These priests, these judges and elders, these officers, and even the king himself are to give you counsel from the law. That's what they should be advising you about. So when you have a mental issue and somebody says, go see a counselor, and you go see a counselor, talk the ways of Babylon, and you say, counselor, I get angry, and I get sad, I get mad, and I get upset. What should I do? And they say, look, I don't care if it's a doorknob, I don't care if it's a teddy bear. Find something and pray to it. Just believe in something, and let me give you this drug, and it should get your mind right. That's a wicked counsel. They didn't give you no good advice. That's why nobody want to go to the counselors of Elohim. Because the counselor of Elohim, you go to counselor of Elohim and say, man, I start acting crazy sometimes. I start tripping. I get upset real quick. They're going to tell you, look. They're going to say, look, go to the book of Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. They're not going to pull out some big old thick medical book and tell you that you have schizophrenia, manic depression, bipolar. No, they're not going to say that. They're going to say, look, go to the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. Look here in the 18th verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keeps the law. And you're going to say, what you mean, counselor? Well, what's that supposed to mean to me? Well, the counselor will say, oh, ain't you unhappy? Don't you go from happy to sad, mad to glad? Yeah, that's what happens to me. Well, I'm telling you, if you want to be happy, keep the law. What you mean, counselor? Well, let me show you. Go to the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Here in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, the third verse, it says, God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in me. Trust ye in Yahweh forever, and Yahweh is an everlasting strength. What you mean? What I'm telling you is to put all that you have into the Creator. You go from happy to sad, mad to glad. Why? Well, you know, my woman pissed me off this morning, so I was mad. And then my kid upset me, so I was mad. And then I watched the TV show, and it made me glad. Well, that's your problem, son. Wake up in the morning and praise Yahweh. He's the one that gave you life. He's the one that gave you breath. Start your day with your provider. Start your day with your life giver. Well, I'm so messed up, I don't even know how to pray. And then the counselor will teach you how to pray. They'll even pray for you. That's a real counsel of the Most High. They'll pray for you. They'll teach you how to pray. They'll show you the words of the Most High that will help you. It might seem silly because you kept on going to doctors who kept on drugging you up and kept on telling you to make a vision board and read a book and run 10 miles and eat the keto diet and do all kind of craziness instead of just saying, wake up in the morning and say, praise Yahweh. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for not killing me. Look at my wife. She's alive. My children, they alive. Praise Yah. Please help me today. Do you think that asking the life giver himself is worse than listening to a doctor that says, get up and count to 10 backwards? And then forward and say, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. What the heck is bothering me? No. What the heck is that? You better give God a way to pray. I bet you your day will be way better. What did Yahweh even call this ensign? Look in the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse. It reads, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Why? Because he's giving you counsel of the most wonderful thing there is, and that is the law of the Most High. You go to a counselor because your stomach hurt. And you say, counselor, my stomach hurt. And this counselor say, here, take this drug. Counselor, what's it going to do? It's going to make your stomach hurt, but then it'll make you feel better. But then it'll make you hurt if you don't take it. And you did it. And you lived with your stomach still hurting. You actually gave $500 to a counselor that made your stomach hurt, even though your stomach already hurt. But if you went to Yahweh, you said, "Black man of Yah, woman of Yah, my stomach hurt. Give me some counsel." Well, they're going to say, "Well, look, go get that herb right there that Yahweh made. Go get that. Boil it. Drink it. You feel better. You go and get it. You boil it. You drink it. You poop out the poison, and your stomach don't hurt. And you won't even bless that person. That person, you just call up, hey, I got poison in my kidneys. What do I do? Well, do this. That's all? Yeah. Praise y'all. You don't have no more kidney issues. And the person that you call that helped you, you don't send them a red cent. The person that made your kidneys bleed, you give them $500 now. Look what Yahweh said about that. We talking about counsel. Look what Yahweh said. Isaiah 55. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and you shall live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness for the people, a leader, and a commander. Why is he going to give you some counsel? He's going to give you life-saving counsel, life-changing counsel. That's what a man that has the spirit of counsel can and will do. So Yahweh's ensign will be something that the nations look to because he'll have the best advice. Just like what's going on today, a pandemic is scouring through the world, and none of these counselors can help. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Ouchie and whoever else, with all their experience and all their degrees, don't got nothing for you. I guarantee you, Yahweh's counselor, Yahweh's ensign, will tell you exactly what you need to do to be protected from this plague. And there's only one thing to do. Get your knees, pray to Creator, keep the law. Do what Yahweh says. You want to see one thing I guarantee you? The ensign will counsel you in this time of trouble. It's in Psalms 40. I guarantee you. Psalms 41. The counsel that would come from the inside, the one that has the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is the third Spirit, the Spirit of counsel. And why is that the third Spirit? Because it's the Spirit that will teach you. It's the Spirit that will show you God's message. And this is what will happen. In Psalms 41, I guarantee you, one of the things that this inside that pertains to Holy Spirit would say is, look at Psalms 41, verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Yahweh will deliver him in the time of trouble. Therefore what? Go out there and start helping poor folks. Because if it's trouble, you know what Yahweh's going to do? Deliver you. So what does these Republicans and Democrats look like today trying to decide if they should give help to poor people? People are poor, and they're like, well, I don't know. if we should help them? Well, obviously, they don't have the spirit of counsel. Because it's no better for somebody that needs advice in what to do. Poor people need help. Help them. Maybe the plague would be stayed. But they're not looking for Yahweh's counsel. But they will, because it's going to get so bad that they're going to be like, man, I don't know what to do. And then Yahweh's ensign will stand up and he will tell you what to do. And they're going to start doing it, and the world will be saved. He's going to be a black man, an Israelite, brown-skinned person, dark eyes, naughty hair. Somebody look like me. Somebody look like your father. Somebody look like your brother. And they can't believe it. Somebody look like George Floyd. He's going to save them with what? The spirit of counsel. Because he's counseled you in the way of Yah. He's giving you the good way. And you will know that that is from the Creator. But what can you do with wicked counsel? There's not a thing you can do with wicked counsel. For instance, in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 12 reads, if a ruler hearken unto lies, then all of his servants are wicked. And that lets you know the truth. Because if Moses had to set up officers, he ruled them. He was their overseer. And if he was listening to lies, then all of these men would have been wicked. But you know who is over a lot of rulers? Let me show you who's over a lot of rulers today. Then the book of Revelations, book that's supposed to be the end of it all. This is a teaching in church. This is the final book. After this, it's over. In this final book, not even saving it to be to the last chapter. Y'all ever watch Scooby-Doo? Scooby-Doo, they will run around trying to figure out who's this villain messing up everything. They're trying to figure it out. And the villain is their teacher, or the villain is their neighbor, or the villain is somebody. And then at the end of the show, they catch the villain and they take off his mask. He said, yes, it was me all along, and I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you baby kids. Well, just like Scooby-Doo, these heathens waited to the end of their book to remove the mask, and they would have got away with it if it wasn't for a servant of God. In Revelations 22 and 16, the villain reveals himself. The villain's about to reveal himself, people. In 22 and 16, I, J-E-S-U-S, Christ of the New Testament, I don't say his name because he's a false god, and Yahweh say don't make no mention of the names of these deities. So I, JC, has sent mine angel to witness, to testify these things to you for the churches. Meaning, he's letting you know, I'm over these churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Now, if you don't know anything, you don't know what this man just said. What he just told you is that not only is he a man, look, God, I'm just a man, come the seed of David, which makes me a man, which means through this whole time y'all been calling me God, and I'm just a man. I'm just one of David's descendants. That's all. I was born through men like everybody else. That's why I died on the cross, because I'm a man. No, I didn't rise back up. That was a lie. No, I don't know how to float. That's a lie. I didn't walk on water either. That's a lie. I'm just a man. That's who I am. But not only am I just a man, I'm also the bright morning star, which gives you one indicator, and the only one, that this person is Lucifer. Lucifer. And how do I know he's Lucifer? Listen, he said he's the bright morning star. Well, go to the book of Isaiah. You would never have thought that the one that they call the Messiah is actually Lucifer. My goodness. How in the world did they get over with this? Well, they Scooby-Doo'd you. Isaiah, the 14th chapter, lets you know, in verse 4, it says that thou should take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. What's that mean? That means he's a king, he's a ruler, and he's the king of Babylon. King of confusion. The king of the city of confusion. The king of the state of confusion. The king of Babylon. And what nation is the chief of confusion? Of course, that's America. A country that says it is legal for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. It's legal to bring children into a house where men are having sex with one another and raise children in that system. That's okay. But it's not okay for a man to take a wife, and to take another wife, and to take another wife, and raise all their children as one unit, so everybody can understand what unity is. That's not okay. It's also okay for a child to divorce their parents. It's okay for a man to lay with an animal. It's okay to let a doctor end the life of the baby inside your womb. But it's not okay to take herbs. It's not okay to have your baby at home. It's not okay to do good things. This is the chief place of confusion. And the king of this place is the king of Babylon. And who is this king of Babylon? To expedite to the 12th verse where it says, how are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? What does this word Lucifer mean? This word Lucifer means bright morning star. Look it up. So what Yahweh's letting you know, he's called the king of Babylon the bright morning star. You fell from heaven. You wanted to be like the Most High. And the Christ of the New Testament said, look, I'm a man. I'm a seed of a man. And I'm the bright morning star. I'm the king of Babylon, y'all. I'm the one that's been teaching all y'all this crazy stuff. It's my book that teaches you all this crazy stuff. That gives you the craziest counsel you can find. And let me just show you one instance of horrible counsel that you, black man and woman, are eating up every day and being a direct tool of destruction in your own community. In the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, the 26th verse, it reads, I will start at the 25th verse. It's funny that this Bible says the cost of following JC. It says, now great crowds were traveling with him, so he turned and said unto them, he's about to give them some advice. He's about to give them some counsel. He's about to show them a way in which they should go, and let's see if it is good or bad. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, let's break that down. If you serve Christ, you hate your own father, which is why you have a community of black folks that don't have fathers. They don't accept their daddies, nor do they love them. They're hated. They hate their mamas too. And they hate their own wife. Domestic violence, child abuse, they hate their own children. They hate their own brothers. Why do you think they shoot each other so much? They hate their own sisters. Why do you think sisters can't get along? They hate themselves. Why do you think they live as a rock hard? Because they drinking alcohol all day, smoking drugs, selling them, eating horribly. The way we do our own self is a direct indication that we hate ourselves. And where did we get the spirit to hate ourselves? We got it from this Scooby-Doo character himself. The King of Babylon, the Bright Morning Star, JC. This is what Yahweh allowed us to use to hate ourselves. That's horrible counsel. And just a couple more scriptures. Look in the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Verse 25 reads, wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. Why? Because they rejected Yah. So I gave you things you can't even live by, which means you're going to get a lot of counselors that ain't going to give you stuff that you can live by. And the chief and the king of this confusion is Lucifer. Who's the bright morning star? Who's the Christ of the New Testament? That's who he is. So you wonder why? Yahweh wants you to know the true spirit of counsel? Because he ain't going to allow this spirit of confusion to reside amongst you anymore. The Quran tells you, beat your wife. The Quran tells you, if you got a wife that you fear, disloyalty. First warning. Men, stop sleeping with her. And lastly, beat her. Is that good counsel? Heck no, that's not good counsel. What sense does that make? Yahweh's counsel, when you have the spirit of jealousy, take your wife to the priest and charge her before the Almighty and let Yahweh work it out. You don't start beating her up. What in the world ain't gonna do for you? Look in the book of Proverbs. The true spirit of counsel will always direct you to the word of the Creator. If you look in the book of Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 18, not that one. It's the 19th chapter. Proverbs 19, verse 20. It says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in thy latter years. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel that shall stand. This is what stands. The counsel of Yah. We got a song called The Counsel of Yah. I think we won't play that. But this is what stands. The counsel of Yah. The spirit of counsel should only be coming with the counsel of Yah. If it comes with the counsel of anybody else, it's not Yahweh's counsel. You want to know what to do about your marriage? Get the counsel of Yah. You want to know what to do about your job? Get the counsel of Yah. You want to know what to do about your life period? Get the counsel of Yah. That's how you'll be wise in the latter end. And Yahweh's servant that's going to give you the right way is going to give you advice that will be founded and that will magnify Yahweh's law. And that's why a lot of people don't listen to it. Because they don't want to do what Yahweh say do. They want to do what you want to do. But it says here in the book of Proverbs, the 20th chapter, the 5th verse, counsel in the heart of a man is deep, is like deep water. But the man of understanding will draw it out. So this is why you don't have everybody doing it. Because you even got to have a spirit of understanding to draw out the counsel of God. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness because they just want to do what they want to do. But a faithful man who can find, yes, and Yahweh can find that faithful man. Yahweh is the one that will show you the spirit of counsel. You know you're dealing with Yahweh's insight when he has the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, and so importantly, the spirit of counsel. You'll know what to do in these days. We are showing you what you should look for, which will be the one within whom the Holy Spirit Yahweh has put. And that's your new time. And that is your king, David. And he will be arriving soon, because these are the latter days. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Again, but that was what I said. Okay.